to talk all things Cleveland Browns, all things NFL. We're going to head out to the fan hotline and welcome on of the MMQB, Albert Breer. Hey, Albert, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, living the dream here. I mean, now that we've got the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce engagement news, I think we can all sleep soundly tonight because content is doing very well for us.
Yeah, it's interesting because like when I tweeted it out, that's exactly how I tweeted it to my wife, who was pretty excited and said she was very happy for Taylor Swift, who she's never met before.
I think everybody on this
how
show
we all are. We're like, it's just a good thing.
The same interaction with our wives. I guess we'll start with the Kenny Pickett stuff, Albert. Does the Kenny Pickett saga, does this end up as a feather in Andrew Berry's cap? Does it end up as a mark against him that they weren't able to make this work in this quarterback room, or is it somewhere in between?
I think it's somewhere in between. I mean, I don't mind the move. I think, like, look, there's a lot of history over the years. The team's taking swings at quarterback, and you know, if you know, and it working out or it not working out. And, you know, Andrew worked in the Eagles organization and, you know, has some of that background. And if you look at it, like, you know, they've always taken swings, you know? And so, I mean, for the most part, like, you know, if you don't count the DTR part of it, you moved a fifth round pick back a year to get a 4 month look at a guy who was a former first round pick at quarterback. And in the end, like you had him in position to compete for your starting job, and because of injury that didn't work out. So you have the chance to get the pick back. Maybe you don't feel like you have not quite enough information on him to turn down the trade offer, and that's that. And I think that's a pretty simple way to kind of summarize it. And then I'd say that the upshot for Browns fans is like, and I think this is a huge part of it, and it's something that not a lot of people are talking about, but it's also like a tacit admission or tacit acknowledgement from Andrew Berry and the Browns front office that they would feel comfortable putting Dylan Gabriel in a game tomorrow, because if he's going to be your backup quarterback, you have to feel that way. So ostensibly, Dylan Gabriel, now he didn't win it from Pickett because Pickett wasn't out there, but, you know, ostensibly, you know, Dylan Gabriel won the backup job, which is, you know, a good thing for a guy who was a third-round pick and a third-round pick that some people criticized.
No, I think that's the right read, is that in case Joe Flacco has an injury or something happens early on, they feel comfortable enough with Dylan Gabriel to be able to put him in there. Question I would have for you, though, is this now just a clear sign that they're going to try to play both rookies then in back of Joe Flacco? Or do you feel like there is even more of a possibility that we could see Deshaun Watson at some point later this year?
Well, I mean, I think I just from my own information, and like people have talked to me about this in very vague terms, so please take it that way. I think Watson's going to be cleared in October or November. Like, I think it's going to be at some point in that like general time range. So, you're talking about like middle of the season somewhere, he's going to be available. And then, you know, you're probably going to come to a point where you got to put him on your 53 man roster. That means walking away from a player. Is that player one of the quarterbacks? We'll see. You know, but I think like trading Pickett now sort of gets you ahead of that problem a little bit, like where there's just no way you're going to carry five quarterbacks on your roster. So now your whole, you know, quarterback conundrum is solved for now and probably solved for later, because you did feel comfortable and you had accounted for the idea that you were going to have four quarterbacks to begin with. And look, like, I think the whole piece of it about like what this means as far as those guys playing, it certainly creates a clear path for them to play. But I think the equation is still the same, right? Like, which is, as long as they're in the playoff hunt and Joe Flacco is playing well, which when the season starts, everyone's in the playoff hunt, you are going with Joe Flacco, and Flacco will be the quarterback. And I know there are a lot of people in that building that believe in Joe Flacco after seeing him for the last 4 months. And so the path to the field for Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders now is to continue to show it and prove it in practice. And then
if the team goes the wrong for six games this season, we don't need to go over the schedule again. We all know how tough it is. If things go the wrong way over that start to the season, then we're probably then talking about like, okay, 8 games in, 10 games in, 12 games in, is this when you start to want to take a look at some other things in your roster with the rookie quarterbacks being part of that, and maybe Deshaun Watson being part of it too?
Albert, would you bet on Shedeur Sanders seeing the field this year or not seeing the field this year?
I mean, I think he probably will. I don't know. I mean, it's just so hard because, like, if I say that, then I'm saying they're going to be, like, 4-13 or something. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, do I think there's a chance of it happening? Sure. Yeah, I think he needs to continue to do the things that will put him in position to get there, though. And I don't think he's there yet. I think a lot of the stuff that you saw in that game is reflective of what, like, NFL teams, the scouts, the coaches were saying about him after watching him on tape and meeting with him in the spring. You know, it's just those flaws that were laid bare in that game against the Rams. And so the drifting in the pocket, bailing out of the back of the pocket, being a little slow to process, not seeing it fast enough, being efficient as a mover, like all that stuff, it didn't look good, you know. And however many of the sacks you want to put on him, I'd say at least a few were very clearly his fault, you know. So, you know, you have to clean that stuff up, you know, because I said this to you guys a million times, but a huge part of it is the other 10 guys in the huddle. And you have to give those other 10 guys in the huddle a chance to succeed and a chance to play high-level football. And if he comes into the huddle and he has trouble with the operation of it, or he can't do it properly, well, you know, you're going to lose the team if you have him, you know, running the show out there. So I think, you know, Shedeur's, you know, worked hard at it and gotten closer to it. He's got to kind of keep working in the direction. And I think the other piece of this, guys, is, you know, Dylan Gabriel, of course, played 6 years of college football. He started games at 2 different schools. Set the NCAA record for starts in a career. Of course, he's more prepared. You know what I mean? Of course, he's more ready than Shedeur is at 7 in an NFL game, based on the amount of things that he's seen.
Albert Breer on the fan hotline here. We do have the Browns announcing their initial 53-man roster. Winston Reed was placed on reserve/injured, designated for return. Deshaun Watson placed on the PUP list. A reserved NFI, non-football injury, David Fry. And then the Browns have cut Dustin Hopkins, Deontay Johnson, Sam Kamara, Julian Okoro, Travion Williams. They've waived 9 other players. And a quick breakdown here. They're carrying, as we scroll, 3 quarterbacks, 2 running backs, 6 wide receivers, 4 tight ends, 10 linemen on both sides of the ball, 5 linebackers, 10 DBs, and 3 specialists. Meaning, as of right now, Andre Schmidt is your kicker. Sorry to put that weighty tome in the middle of the interview there. To specific to the Deontay Johnson thing, I did want to ask you, it was a quick fall from grace where, like, 3 weeks ago, we saw him in camp and he looked good. Is this all about football with Deontay, or is this maybe continued part of the Deontay show that has cost him his career over the last 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is whether or not you can trust him. You know what I mean? If you give him a spot on the team and he doesn't have a certain role, is he going to do all the right things? And that's important, you know? A lot of times with guys like him, like, you can keep them in line if they've got a real role, right? Like, if they're a starter. But if the guy like that's not a starter, are you better off keeping him in where maybe you're not sure you can trust him? Or are you better having a younger developmental player in that spot? You know, like, I think that's sort of what it comes down to when we're talking about those things. It's also, you know, like, part of it's a function of your special teams value and what was he bringing from a special teams standpoint. Because once you get down, you know, your 4th receiver, your 5th receiver, your 6th receiver, now you're talking about those guys having to contribute to the team in other ways, like outside just the offense. So, yeah, I just think Deontay Johnson is one of those guys where if he shows you that he can catch 50, 60, 70 balls, or that he's going to be that guy for you, then you're willing to maybe take the risk. And then beyond that, you have to figure out whether or not you trust him. If he's going to play a smaller role, I could definitely see where a team would say, well, it's just not worth worth the headache to have him around based on how we maybe project this playing out after everything that happened in Carolina and Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Albert, I want to ask you, as it looks like the Browns are only going to carry two running backs right now, so they'll probably have an addition at some point before week one, but it leads me to Quinshon Judkins. Mike Florio was on the station yesterday, and I don't know if you saw it. He wrote about it at ProFootballTalk.com as well. He did this with Shamar Stewart. He did it with Shador as well, the idea that they could just go back to college. Is there any viability with that, and where do we stand with Quinshon?
Well, I wouldn't mind having him on Saturday if that's what you guys are asking. I just see it as pretty unlikely. I think it's I want to make sure I have this right. Mike would just better than me to like spelled it out for you, but I think it is like technically against the rules once you declare for the draft to go back in, or once you hire an agent. But like a lot of those rules have been challenged in court, and the NCAA hasn't shown much resistance. Right? Is that it?
Yeah. And so what you'd be doing, you'd go to the court and you'd ask for the judge on the basis of antitrust laws. And then he is playing with the idea that the judge would grant that, which I think is a leap, but it's a logical leap.
Right. So, I mean, I just think if you have to think about it from Quinshon Judkins' point of view, is like, is it worth doing that? You know what I mean? Like, and I think maybe some of that would boil down to how much money he can get to go back to college. But at this point, like I wouldn't it be hard for him to play anywhere but Ohio State or Ole Miss, right? Like I would think like those would be the only two places where he could assimilate quick enough to make a difference based on the juncture in the calendar that we're in right now. You know, like, so is it possible to do that? Maybe. Like, I don't see, I would trust Mike on like the idea that like you could get through the court and back onto the field, right? Like that makes sense to me. My question would be for a player like that, like who already went through the pre-draft process and everything else, whether you would want to subject yourself to all of it again. My guess would be that that would be a ton of work to go through with maybe minimal benefit when you still have a second round contract out there for you.
Albert, Ohio State, Texas this weekend. You are an alum. You're very excited for this one, I'm guessing. It's in Columbus. Now that we're this close to it, what's your confidence level that Ohio State's going to get the dub this weekend?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think there's still a lot of unknown. You know, like, I would love to say, like, I think they're going to kill them. Like, I don't think that's the case. Like, it sounds to me like these and again, like, I don't, like, not studying these teams the way I am NFL teams going into the season, but it sounds to me like they're going to be two, at least early in the season, pretty defensive-oriented teams. I sort of expect, like, I don't know, a 13-10, 17-13, that sort of game. But I feel good about, like, where the team's at, like, and how the team's going to how the team's going to look October and November. It's just how quickly some of those guys get up to speed. Obviously, it's a quarterback, but it's also, you know, some new offensive line coming in. You know, like the interior of the D-line. It's a little different than last year. So, and then there's the new coordinators too, which is double because it's like, yeah, they're inexperienced, but there also could be some wrinkles that Texas has no idea are coming. I'm excited to get there. I actually get there Friday night, so it'll be great.
Nice.
How do you think Matt Patricia, knowing him the way you do, how do you think he's going to adopt to this?
Yeah, I've been around him a little bit, like, since he got there. I would say, like, he is so excited to be there, you know, and like the hands-on teaching that he's been able to do has been, I think it's been really kind of like refreshing for him and getting to go and focus on football and just football, the way that he's been able to, there over the last, you know, 6-7 months since he got. So I think one thing I know about Matt is he's a good teacher. And he's really good at finding ways to get the most. And so I would expect that the defense is going to look different than it looks in the playoffs, obviously under Jim Knowles. And I think, like, Rich Manning in his first game, I know he started two games last year, but his first game as a college starter, I would think there's going to be a ton of stuff thrown at him that he's never seen before. You know, which with veteran players like Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles and you know, Davis and Igbinosin, like, I think he should be able to do some cool stuff with some of those guys.
Albert, excited for this weekend, Ohio State, Texas. We are appreciative of your time as always. Great stuff, my guy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Go Bucks.
Thank you. Go Bucks. I got caught between my guy and my man, and so we got Albert Breer on the fan hotline. We'll react to what he had to say and break down all the 53-man roster news you're going to get again. Dustin Hopkins among the cuts for the Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think I'm ready to make a prediction for Deshaun Watson and the Browns this season.
Okay, I'm ready to hear it.
I have a feeling that right around the time he's really getting ready. I mean, we're going to get workout videos out to yin yang. He's going to be doing a lot of motivational stuff. The Deshaun Watson hive will reactivate right around this time.
If they reactivate, that's a hey, all three of them. It's going to be a
Quincy Avery
rough
never went dormant. All right, I'll just say that right then in there because he's still getting paid. But right as it goes to happen, there's going to we had a setback. Not on the Achilles, but there was some other thing. We're going to have to push this back just a little bit, and maybe to the end of the season.
There is a part of me that wonders if it's just a dog and pony show so he can continue to collect his checks.
I mean, in fairness, the dog and pony show has already come to town and left. It was the Kenny Pickett thing. So you can't put it past the organization to have another dog and pony show during the actual season.
Well, I mean, think about it. If he wants to continue to cash his checks, it's got to be performative. He's got to make sure that he's doing all of exactly what he's been doing.
There's a big part of me because, I
don't know. Maybe he still thinks he can play football, though. I
guarantee you he still thinks he wants that he can play football.
I mean,
football.
You heard Albert anytime he's been on here. Not this time, obviously, but in previous iterations of him coming on, he's talked about how he's like, well, who do you guys think is better on this roster? And I responded back, Joe Flacco, and he was like, all right, I'll give you Joe Flacco, but like, who else? Like, who else do you think is actually better? Like, there's people that think he can still play a little bit.
It just wouldn't surprise me. And I feel like there had to have been a conversation when Deshaun popped his Achilles and then re-injured it. There had to have been a conversation of, you know, this just has not worked out. And the worst thing we can do for your career is put you on the field. If we're 1-10, the worst thing we can do is put you on the field at 1-10. So why don't we find a way to work through this? And then next year, we'll do the post June 1 cut, which allows you to then pursue your options without, hey, you just looked really bad. The best thing, the best friend that Deshaun has is that it's been over a year and will be almost a year plus. It'll be like a year and 3 months from people being reminded how bad he was at football in Cleveland.
So here's the one wrinkle I think that we're missing in this discussion, though, and I think it does matter. The owner of the team still loves Deshaun. And it's evidenced by the fact that the owner of the team was at Deshaun's wedding. Like, this is not some sort of relationship where he's been angry at Deshaun for how this has gone down. He's held it against, Deshaun for how this has gone down. Like, they still remain relatively close. Again, he was at his wedding. Like, he cares about him. And so, like, maybe he looks at it, and at the end of the season, instead of it going to Shador, which I think it probably will, maybe he's like, all right, this can be an audition for Deshaun to prove that he can do something in the NFL.
If you want the best for Deshaun, I would imagine that would actually be the scenario where he doesn't plan a system that doesn't fit him, that he's failed twice already, and that he wouldn't be out in front of the fans, that some of which, it might have been a loud minority, but some of which cheered his injury.
Listen, I never want to see him play again. You never want to see him play again. That is interesting, though. What is actually best for Deshaun? We don't think about it because we don't care about what's best for Deshaun, but is the best thing for Deshaun just letting him, because if he rides the pine and then doesn't get any more opportunities to showcase himself, he is who he is. He's a very injured and very bad quarterback for 3 seasons. I don't know that anybody else gives him an opportunity.
Oh, I think the bigger concern for Deshaun's side of things is you go out there on a 1-12 Browns team with a chance to quote unquote prove yourself and you get the holy crap kicked out of you. And you actually put the kibosh on chances of the rehabilitation thing. How long did it take to rehab?
It's on the table.
How long did it take to rehab Kenny Pickett's image and turn his absolute failure in Pittsburgh into Mike Tomlin's fault? What, a year? And now, granted, he won a Super Bowl. I mean, that does wonders for everyone. That's literally a spin job that happened. I think the farther you are away from your own stink in Cleveland, the better for Deshaun, and I think he's got to know that, and I think David Mulligetta's got to know that on some level.
I think it's tougher, though, to wipe away the Kenny Pickett stink in Pittsburgh than the Deshaun Watson stink, because the Deshaun Watson stink was, that's a level we've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, I think
if he looks good, I think you give him 3-4 games and he looks good, then I think it's on the table for another team.
What if he looks bad?
Well, if he's on, if he's bad, then he's probably in the same spot as if he doesn't play.
Oh, no, I think if he looks bad, he's definitely out of the NFL.
Well, I think if he doesn't play, he's out of the NFL, too.
No.
If he doesn't see the field, I don't know who's going to take a chance on him. But if he shows some semblance, if he's got like a 90 passer rating, throws a couple touchdowns, and seems serviceable, then I think there might be somebody down the road that'll bite.
I think playing is a boom or bust thing. Meaning, if you play well, there's tangible benefits. If you play awfully, there's really a downside there. Whereas not playing,
I think his back is against the wall already. What happens if he doesn't play?
I think if he doesn't play, I think it's somewhere in between. I think it's neutral.
Also, I think a lot of people are holding on to the idea that it'll be this summer. If you look at his contract and everything, March of 2027 continues to be the realistic date that you can move off of Deshaun Watson. And so I don't know. It's really not a foregone conclusion that this is the last year with Deshaun in a Browns uniform. If you made me bet right now, especially if he doesn't play, I would bet it's not this year. After next season.
Well, I know that there's a lot of very smart cap folks that can discredit this very quickly. I don't think it matters. I think it's last year. I think it's his last 4 months within the organization, 5 months, whatever it is. And I just think it's logical. Like I think trying to keep him here for an meaning like, and oh, by the way, you're probably going to be in a spot to take a quarterback next year. I mean, people were worried about Deshaun infecting somehow Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. If you feel that way about that, why the hell would I want him around Lenora Sellers or Garrett Nussmeier or Drew Aller?
Well, I mean, again, it just comes down to what in looking at the cap and how this all works. If it's a $90 million deal compared to a $46 million deal, because you extended him out the one more season already, you're just stuck with him one more year longer. And so it'd be about $46 million to just wipe your hands clean of it. And maybe that's what they have to do at the end of this. It's much more palatable than would have been if they did it this summer.
216-474-0092. Is Deshaun Watson back in play for the Browns this season? You heard Albert Breer speak his piece on this. It should be noted the Browns have made a decision on kicker. Dustin Hopkins is part of the initial cuts here. I don't want to say that I'm surprised because there'd been a lot of chatter about this.
We talked about it yesterday.
I don't know. This is the one that I don't know. This is the one I would have thrown that I would not die on this hill is what I'm trying to say. Good Lord.
Yeah. We're dying on the hill for a kicker conversation. We're probably dying on the wrong hill anyway.
Yeah,
like think about
I
it.
Like that.
It happened during the interview and I was too embarrassed to ask Albert about it. That was like the breaking news. And I'm like, I can't ask him about a kicker situation right now. If I do that, it's like, first off, I don't even know. Now, hold on. No, Albert went to Ohio State, not Syracuse. He knows a lot of Syracuse people, though. So the Schmidt contingent, what do you call them? The Schmidt Lickers?
No. That's a different thing. I think it was, oh my gosh. Now
I've said you're up Schmidt's Creek before.
I like that one. We also like the show. It's a different name, though. Damn it. I don't remember what the hell I called him yesterday. Because I've called them.
It was good. I thought it was Schmidt Lickers for some reason.
No.
I don't know why in my mind.
No,
that's what I
said something different off air. But it was a reference to the show, The League. But no, I don't remember. But no, I mean, like, listen, if the difference between winning and losing is Dustin Hopkins or Andre Schmidt, you're probably not going to win a lot of games anyways.
No, but it does give you the opportunity to, it's a real boom or bust possibility. And so I kind of enjoy this. Either he develops into one of the better kickers in the league and all of a sudden you found your kicker, or he just stinks and then he helps you find the goal of trying to get a top five pick for the upcoming season.
There's certainly no middle ground where he's just a mid kicker.
That was Dustin Hopkins. They just kicked the mid kicker out. They said we don't want that.
He was unplayable last year. That's why he's not with the team. He
was really bad last year.
He was mid when he came here, and it was near a Pro Bowler, some are saying, but not a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. Mac, you missed it yesterday. We went down a whole Pro Bowl escapade with Dustin Hopkins for me to be like, he never made a Pro Bowl.
But you can imagine what it would have been like if he had.
The celebrations.
But no, I do. I think specific to Andre Schmidt versus Dustin Hopkins, I guess if the biggest name cut, like the biggest whoa factor of the initial cutdowns is you cut a kicker. It probably speaks to the quality of your roster. No,
I mean a kicker and debating about kickers is a luxury that is afforded to really good football teams. We are not afforded that luxury right now. It's just the truth.
It's not that one.
Are you getting suggestions on what you said yesterday?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I did say Schmidt heads. I did say that. That's not the one I was going for. There was another one that I think is even funnier. Because it was like the, what was it? Zanimals Unite that I used to scream when Zane Gonzalez
I always called it the Zanimals.
Why would you?
I don't know. Every time you said, I always thought you were saying Zanimals, not Zanimals. I was always.
Why?
I don't know.
His name is Zane.
It's how I read it. Well, you came up with it. We were in the press box together. I remember 2017, I think is what it was.
But I never said Zanimals. I think that's an animal cracker that you feed your kid. I think
you might have said it once, and then I saw you tweet it a million other times. And so in my head, I just always thought Zanimals. You did go with the Zane train, too, I think, at one point.
Yep. The Zane train.
He'd be in the press box. We'd be sitting next to each other. He'd have a pretzel with cheese and then would just be like, oh, that's Zane Gonzalez. Finished off an 0-16 season.
Exactly.
And had absolutely nothing to cheer for. Yeah.
There's a pretzel, there's cheese, and I'd just be sitting back just, that's Zane Gonzalez.
Me and Terry Pluto would look like you had a banana taped to your forehead, but you'd get excited over it, so we enjoyed your excitement.
Because of the Zanimals. I'm team
Zanimals.
And
then he went on to actually have a pretty decent NFL career.
Yeah. Oh, there's a mid kicker. Yeah. Can Andre Schmidt be better or worse than Zane Gonzalez? 216-474.
We can throw Greg Joseph in the mix too if you want.
I don't even remember Greg Joseph. But there's been so many just blah kickers that I just don't even know.
He was one that went on to have a pretty good career.
Remember Billy Cundiff? Anybody, the Cundiff folks? I tried to do something there.
Easy now.
I felt myself flying close to the sun, and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. Dustin Hopkins cut by the Browns in the initial 53-man cutdown. Did they make the right decision? More on that in the Browns roster and Deshaun Watson's place on the Browns in 2025 and beyond in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You and Elise are expecting your second baby.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right. Yeah. And I'm glad you got to make that announcement on the air by way of Ken Carmen saying it like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, did Ken say something?
I think he did.
I didn't hear that at all.
I think he did.
No one ever tells me when Ken does things like this. Where's the update, guys?
It couldn't be me. And the reason why is you accused me of taking glee and giving people bad news, which hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry
about
that.
You're never getting bad news from me again. All because I was trying to protect the Germinator from a blow up when he broke your computer.
Oh, you were really excited to deliver that news.
I was not.
You seemed really, you came out front. It was.
I was trying to give distance from you. I was an offensive lineman for Spencer German, who I thought you would just implode on. And I didn't want that for
literally nobody told me Ken had mentioned it on the air like 6 weeks ago.
Oh.
Not a single person.
I really thought, because I told Jake to tell you, because I couldn't tell you, because then you'd be like, you just wanted to tell me this news.
Ken also, he tweeted about me like a month ago or something, and I didn't realize it until a week ago, and it had like a decent amount of people interacting with it, and he didn't tag me in it, so I just didn't know. And then I was like, wait, where were people informing me that this was going on?
Wait, what tweet was this? Now we're really getting down the road.
I'll tell you off the air. I don't want to go. I don't want to relitigate it all. Because then I had to like text Ken and be like, hey, so let's set this record straight. But I had zero clue.
Well, by the way, 6 weeks ago, Ken told everybody you're going to have another kid.
Oh,
but
he wasn't wrong.
I've been in on this because, one, we're both girl dads, so we're loving that.
Yeah.
But two, I've been teasing you for a while that there's a distinct chance your baby girl could be born on my birthday, and recent developments suggest that that is more likely now, and we are about this.
Well, that's what happened today. We found out today earlier that the baby's no longer breech, and so now the delivery date would be, if things go as planned, it's not only your birthday, but it's also 92.3 The Fan Day. I mean, it's 9 of 23, which is an incredible turn of events.
And my nephew was born when I was 16 years old. My older brother's 8 years older. And the little jerk held on an extra day. It's like the whole time, 16, I'm like, I already love this kid because he's my older brother. I've always looked up to. I've loved my big brother. And so I was so excited. And I was like, and he's going to be born right around my birthday. And then that labor went right into 9/24. And I was like, I still love him a lot. Just a little less than it was.
Well, so I guess that could happen, though. You could have like a repeat of that, and that would be pretty devastating.
Now, here's the thing.
Although we mapped it out today with our OBGYN. Like, it would be like you get there late on 9 of 22, and then it's really set up for a long window to be born on 9 of 23.
So I think the only reason I wouldn't want baby number two for you guys to be born on my birthday is I already adore Charlotte. And I don't want to have something that tilts the scales.
I mean, you got an instant new
one.
Favorite.
I mean, she's the youngest. I'm the youngest. So that's what there's already going to be a bond there. I will not have any more babies. So I'm going to be gaga over your kid because it's been so long. I mean, my kids are 12 and 15. So I'm already feeling that those tears go. So, but now you're born on my birthday. Like, did we just become best friends?
I think you might have. I love it. And it's the wild circumstances. If I had a baby that was born, so Charlotte was born 216, which is Cleveland's area code, and then 92.3, like all the reasons I mean, it's incredible.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't know that this is that way for everyone. 92.3 has always been, like, my 9 and 23 have always been very fortunate numbers for me.
Yeah,
like,
you told me this, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
9-23... literally my birthday. So people always thought when it was first Nick Wilson 923, it was like, oh, because of the station. I'm like, no, it's my birthday. Very original take there. But like, I met my wife in the month of September. So again, those numbers continue to repeat.
Yeah.
I have this weird habit of looking at the clock, and it tends to be 9:23, either AM or PM. Almost every day I look at it and that number's there. The universe is telling me something. I have no idea. It's like, communicate better, universe. All right. If you're just telling me these numbers, I don't know how to decipher it. I'm not that smart. Be a little more blunt. But that's the other thing I like about this. We could end up being numerology buddies.
It would be fun. So I am, obviously, I'm very devastated that it's happening during football season. That's not great, but you can't plan these things. What happens if, in the middle of a segment, I get a text from my wife and her water broke?
Remember that.
What's the expectation from everyone here? Like, Mac, what's your expectation from me in this setting?
How deep are we in the show? Can I ask that first?
I want you to answer before Nick answers, and I'd like to actually take a pulse of the room. What's the expectation for me if my wife's water breaks and all of a sudden she has to go into labor and it's during the show?
I think you would just go. I think you would just
go. Do I finish out the segment first?
No, I think you just go with that.
Just drop everything. I could be in the middle of a Dustin Hopkins should have been the kicker the entire and we're gone.
So let the record reflect. Mac is single and childless. I'm just saying, like,
is there a reason why we
priority
have
that to his wife and the baby?
Why would we go to the Brecksville judge when the Brecksville has not had a lot of procreational practice at this point?
All right,
in his
now
life.
I want to know: is your advice going to be different than Mac's advice on this?
I think he's biased in this. Though.
What's the setup in this scenario? Is the expectation for me to leave the segment to stay through the segment, stay through the hour? Because there's not much I can do at that point.
This is work wife versus, you know, actual wife. Like, I mean, come on now. Not in case you're the work wife, but you get what I mean there. Because I'm the one.
This is why we don't do labels like that. This
true.
Is why I'm like, no, no, no.
But
and by the way, if your significant other has a work wife, ooh, that's not great. That's not great.
They don't actually have work maritals.
I never believed in the idea that you could have, like, anytime I saw a couple and it's like, oh, that's my work husband, I'm like, oh, that's not going well for you guys.
It's just a friendship.
That's not going
well. It's just a zany friendship.
I instantly think to myself, I'm like, oh, no, I don't like, if my wife came home and was like, I got this work husband.
Oh, we'd kill him.
I'd be like, not great. Yeah. Don't love that development.
I know a lot of Hungarians with no real future. Uh-huh. They'd be loving to help out. Right?
Now, that's Vince Vaughn.
Yep. Now, this being said, what time in the day? I need specifics. If it happened at 2:02 and you left,
yeah.
If I planned a two-person show and then had to do...
That would make the 9:23 baby instantly your non-favorite. Because it would probably take 9:23 off the board while also then interrupting your whole entire day.
I separate the art from the artists.
Okay. Yeah, it's not her fault.
No, it's you. It's your fault. Ooh, Mojo USA.
What's the expectation for me here?
By the way, oh no. Mojo USA, you guys sound like a couple of bleeps. Oh, gosh, not Mojo USA. He thinks we don't sound manly enough. Not Mojo USA.
I mean, I've already been accused of not being manly enough by the morning show. It's okay if you do it on Twitter.
By the way, Mojo USA, get your tea checked. I think you, sir, are projecting your own lack of masculinity or maybe high testosterone, low testosterone. It's okay, buddy.
Conversely,
okay.
If I stay through, and this is something that would appeal to me, by the way, if I stay through and just ignore the fact that my wife is in labor and needs me and wants me to be by her side, I get to just laugh at anyone that takes off for their birthday in the future. I get to laugh at basically anybody that has any sort of reason for why they would ever take off. I'd be like, I worked through my child being born No excuses.
Yeah, and then I'm going to immediately call you out and said you just didn't want to go deal with it.
Yeah, which would be the right scenario, by the way. which would be the right.
No, I mean, okay, if it's at 5:20, I'm going to give you the third baseline. Like, go home.
Okay, yeah, show's already done.
Head home.
Yeah, well, it's time you give me a 2:20.
Yeah. Let's hear how things are going. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Let's not jump to conclusions. Who knows that was really your water breaking?
I told
it's
Keith,
only your second kid.
If I like the segment, I'll probably stay. If I've kind of like, I got my thoughts off, we're good here, then maybe I just peace out.
Was it like when I gave you the idea that Shador and Shiloh could play for the Toronto Argonauts and you turned on me?
I didn't turn on you.
You were very upset by that idea.
I was not upset. You keep telling me how I felt in that whole entire segment. I was not upset by that.
Because Shador, you're denying how you felt.
Now, were you out of pocket? Yes. Yes, you were.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I was upset by it.
But no, you'll stick around.
In fact,
you're a pro.
I liked the clarity that I was able to put out there that if he goes to the CFL, I'm not watching the CFL.
Mm, sure, you're not.
No chance.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, no chance. Shador, you're dead to me.
Yeah, you probably already own.
I don't even know where you got that clip. Is that from that,
that
little bit?
That was from that little bit.
And it's true. Shador, you're dead to me. If you go to the CFL, you're dead to me.
All we hear is Shador, you're dead to me.
I'm that much of a Browns fan. If Shador leaves, I just don't even, doesn't even bother me.
You've already got the Shador Toronto Argonauts jersey. You're not fooling anyone. But no, you're
Should my
stay.
Little baby have a Shador jersey?
No.
That's the bit among bits.
No.
Put her in a little Shador jersey. Also wearing the number 2.
Well, that's funny because at that age, that's one of the like 3 things they do. I think you're a pro.
Oh, no.
I think you'll stay. Yeah.
She's going to defecate all over the Shador jersey.
Let's just hope Shador doesn't.
Easy.
216-474-0092.
I like, you think I'm going to stay?
No, you're a pro.
The result is I'm going to stay.
You're a pro. Yeah, you okay. And I have always talked about guys who handle things like pros, guys who don't. Uh-huh. You're going to stay.
Yeah, lots changed in my wife. Yeah.
I just, nothing's really, I didn't see that text for 4 hours.
My wife would get so mad if I didn't leave instantly.
She's going to get mad at you anyways. She's birthing a child.
She told me today.
You are the enemy.
So we never had it on the docket that she would have that type of birth. We always thought it was going to be a C-section. And she told me today, she's like, if this happens, I'm going to yell at you in ways I've never... Because we don't yell at each other.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to skip 4 hours of that?
And she's just like, I am going to... And she goes, just know right now, it's not nothing against you or anything like that. It's just going to be, I'm going to be yelling like crazy. And I'm like, I know.
Yep.
I got the role. I got it. I'm locked in, ready to go.
Yep.
Doesn't sound like fun.
Ready to go after the show ends.
It's 7:01.
Yeah. Wait, you're going to miss 4 hours of her screaming at you? I think not.
I mean, if I make it in time, we can play you going solo on the Odyssey app, and you can be one of the first voices that the baby hears.
Now I really like this idea. John Fanta in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.